Good evening and welcome to the UOI Sports Hour. I'm Joshua Kerr, and tonight we're going to be joined by a pair from the papers in the form of Johnny Long and Thomas Hall from Vision and News. We're going to be talking about Varsity that happened in Durham last Sunday. Of course, York were defeated, but we'll touch on that a little bit later. We'll also have the full Bucks roundup. As well as we'll be talking to Grace Clark, the New York Sports Union president. But let's begin with Varsity. Good evening, Johnny.
Evening, Josh.
And Tom.
Evening.
So it wasn't a great result, was it, really?
No, obviously it was disappointing for York to come away quite a significant loss in Durham, especially considering last year they came within 10 points of winning. I think it was a shame to see York lose in certain games, but overall I think the day went quite well, and I think it's a tournament to be to stick with in the long term.
Well, we'll touch on whether that is the case or not in a little bit. Yeah, so the final score was York 36, Durham 60. So quite a landslide. Really, it was the first half of the day that was the problem for York. In the first 12 fixtures of the 24, York picked up just 12.5 points compared to Durham's 33.5. Just three wins in the first half of the day. Why perhaps did we struggle early on?
Well, there's the bus rides up about they left at 7:30 a.m.
So, you know. Well, actually, Johnny Long, should we talk about the bus rides up at 7 a.m.? You weren't there.
No, well, the Vision boys were allowed to get the train up at a comfortable 9 a.m. time slot, so we got there just in time for the first fixtures.
First class, was it?
Oh, definitely not on the Vision budget, I have to say.
In hindsight, I'd say probably a wise decision.
I'd probably agree with that. I was absolutely knackered as I rolled out of bed on the morning.
You were dead to the world on the bus on that back row, Josh. You were sound asleep.
Out cold for some time. Just as cold, perhaps, as Durham it was on the day. It's probably the coldest place on earth. So things got underway. We had lacrosse, the women's rugby. In fact, the women's rugby was the first event to finish on the day, and we actually won that event. At York. So it looked promising then, didn't it?
Mm. It certainly did, and that was a particularly traumatic 40 minutes from my point of view, because I was reporting on the game, and unfortunately my pen didn't work, which is the bane of all reporters, and also I contrived to have a pretty violent nosebleed, which interrupted my work significantly. And also, after 5 minutes, both teams stopped in their tracks to try and ascertain exactly what the rules were, so it was a bit of a... It was certainly an interesting start to the day, but I think in terms of setting the tone for the day as it started, I think the 12-0 loss in lacrosse really sort of knocked the stuffing out of York at the very start, and they went nine games without picking up a single point either way. So, as you say, it was definitely that morning that cost York in the end.
Yeah, that 12-0 defeat really sort of didn't set a good start, did it? In fact, I caught up after the game with URY's very own Will Rawlinson, who was representing Halifax.
It was tricky out there, wasn't it?
It was tough. They were a really good side as well, actually. They did really well. But we held our own, especially second half. We only conceded two goals. It's a shame we didn't come away with a goal, but it was good fun. And up the rest of York, we're going to go and see them now.
They were quite physical out there, actually, weren't they? And it was a non-contact event, but unnecessarily argy-bargy.
There was a lot of pushing and shoving, and the Durham said that they got pulled up for it, which they did sometimes and they didn't sometimes. So, but that's the way it goes, and especially it's on their turf, their rules. But it was argy-bargy, but that's what happened in the second half. We got our foot in and our stick in, and that was why we only conceded two goals in the second half.
Yeah, and certainly very, very good spirit, given that you were... almost out of it really at half time, but a very pleasing performance, I must say, then, for that second half.
Yeah, really, really, really happy second half, and we're just looking forward to going and seeing the rest and supporting the rest of York.
I also caught up with the women's rugby captain also from Halifax after they got their win against St Cuthbert's 20-35.
Congratulations, you've won the first event of the day.
Yay.
Absolutely overjoyed Halifax with that one.
No, yeah, we are really happy. We play really well, so it's got all the girls deserve it.
Yes, overriding joy perhaps is the word there. But it wasn't overriding joy for the men's rugby. Both teams defeated Derwent missed out, really. They're even a sin bin in the late stages after they let their sort of lead slip. I mean, the first half, really, the portcullis and drawbridge of Castle wasn't doing anything to stop Derwent.
No, well, at half-time, Derwent were up 17-7. And it looked like there was no coming back for Castle. You know, early tries, players such as Jacob Brooke playing extremely well. Then something didn't know happened in the second half, just seemed to fall away, maybe, you know, home territory. But one of the interesting things is it's played on the 3G, and so a couple of the players thought they'd come up with their, you know, their Under Armour tights on, but they were told to take them off before the start of the game, which may have had an effect, who knows.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the 3G also meant it was uncontested scrums. How do we feel that affected the outcome?
Well, it made it a bit less of a contest, really. I mean, that's part of the game.
Literally.
For the forwards, I mean, they're taking crash balls to try and make up for lack of playing time, but in the end, unfortunately, Derwent suffered a loss that cost them in the end.
I think later in the day, heavy defeat for James College, who ran away with the college sport rugby league here at York, but struggled significantly against Collingwood. I think it was 65-69 nil or something like that description, but that was a great disappointment, and that came at a point where York were really struggling. I saw them losing the women's football first game, a tight game which both sides missed a penalty, but to see York lose to in such a narrow margin that game was sad to see, and then slip up the Vanbrugh men's seconds as well in what was a tight game. So really, York put in a number of good performances, but in those ones came up short.
Yeah, but perhaps that was probably the story of the first half. It wasn't necessarily all in the result. You could read it. There was certainly good effort there. A number of exciting games where it was just sort of narrowly missed out. But does perhaps that men's first rugby game just put it perhaps into perspective, I suppose, the gulf in class between York and Durham, given that James have been so convincing in the college rugby system here, but were overwhelmed when they got to Durham?
Well, I mean, you say James are convincing, but over this academic year, it's been a bit of a tussle between two. You know, Derwent suffered a heavy loss first term, and then they came back second term, beat James 36-7, and then in the qualifiers got beaten heavily by James. So it's a good matchup in the college rugby. It keeps it interesting.
As we progressed towards lunchtime, there was also the other lacrosse game. Quite a bit of drama in that, including this.
A heavy gust of wind. Because of the lack of goalkeeper, they had this strange plastic sheet over it. And the goal has just blown back several yards, in fact, quite some distance. One of the Durham players running after it, chasing their own goal. Bizarre
indeed.
Yeah.
It went about 10 yards.
Oh, it did. It blew back a long way, Josh. But also wasn't the only bizarre incident in that game, and something that I never thought I'd see. There was a young man playing for Durham wearing a GoPro recording the game on his chest. And he was quite an obnoxious individual. And I get the impression he wanted everyone to know that he was wearing a GoPro. And he was marking a James player, and in an attempt to intercept the ball, smacked himself in the face with his own lacrosse stick, drawing blood from just above his eye, which was quite a bizarre incident. I'm sure you'll agree. It was incredible scenes on the crumb.
Yeah. Whenever you get a sort of a cut just above the eyebrow, there's usually quite a lot of blood, even if it's not necessarily that big. But certainly on the GoPro, he'll have got a good view. He'll be able to look back on it and just see how much he did hit himself in the face with his own stick. Just ridiculous, frankly. But James, who were actually losing at that stage, came back and got the win. And I spoke with the man that scored the goal with just seconds to go.
So I'm joined with the hero for James in this one. Only minutes to go, and you've scored the winner. It's finished 7-6.
So very much a team effort. Connie scored the ones at the start, so just lucky. Well played, to be fair.
Who's the captain here? Who's the captain? How proud are you of your team? You were behind in the early stages, and to come back and win this one.
Yeah, we really found our pace towards the back end of the first half, and I'm beyond ridiculously proud of my teammates right here, has to be said. So I think a party at Revs is well in order this evening.
Well, I'm sure some of the James lacrosse players don't necessarily have a great recollection of Sunday evening. As we move on then, some more bad news. I promise you it does get better as we get into the afternoon, but the darts, that was another sorry tale.
Yeah, that was an odd one, wasn't it, Johnny? I mean, we all came away from that Sunday, the qualifiers evening at Roger Kirk Centre, I mean, we were all quite jovial spirits about the darts after that evening. And Derwent narrowly going forward as York first, beating Langworth in the final. But it seemed to be a bit of a non-event on the day, and it was played in what was described as a glorified cupboard. Like, yeah, it was really...
Yeah, I mean, we travelled to Durham, we're like, you know, what do we watch, the football or the darts? Because it was such a good event for the qualifiers. And then, you know, find out the room location, walk up, and it was... There's no atmosphere at all, and, you know, it wasn't what the darts could have been, which it may be for Roses, indeed. You know, when they play in D-Bar, it'll be a proper event with the spectator aspect.
So presumably there was probably more of an atmosphere at the qualifiers than the main event proper.
I think that's very fair to say, Josh, yeah. I think it goes for, just for the event as a whole. I think Roses is a different scale. I think we're looking at, this is, there are 12 sports here, is it? But Roses is obviously far greater than that. And I think the atmosphere as well, I think we were quite disappointed with was the lack of a turnout from Durham. I mean,
that's a very true point. Over the course of the day as a whole, I think I saw a handful, half a dozen, if that then, of Durham supporters that turned out. I mean, it's their home event. Perhaps does it not work as well at Durham as it does here?
I don't know.
I mean, for me as well, you know, obviously me and you, Josh, we travelled up with Derwent College, you know, people we know from football. And that, you know, that such a strong following away fan contingent made all the difference, you know, throughout the day with all the sports being played.
Inspiring them to a 1-0 win in the men's football,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Particularly raucous
the football
crowd.
There was a good atmosphere, the latter women's rugby, the netball as well. So throughout the day they were sort of going from place to place, but it was the same group of fans, I suppose. But yeah, just no one from Durham. And it's weird because of their sports facilities there. For those of you that don't know Durham, it's collegiate, like York obviously, but spread out across the city. Now Durham is smaller still than York, and York isn't a big place, so it's more spread out around the countryside, and the sports facilities there are no different to that, described as in the middle of nowhere. And you had quite a trek from the station.
Yeah, well, we getting the train there, we decided, you know, don't get the bus, don't get the train, walk there. Arrived somehow just in time. But yeah, I think it is the fact that, you know, Sunday morning, hard to get people out of bed. I mean, the fact is they had so many sports teams there, and the actual presence of their sports teams in the victory speaks volumes, I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah, do you think perhaps it makes it harder that because they're all trying to fit into one day, whereas the qualifiers, for example, that was spread out over a weekend, it makes it perhaps harder for people to go and watch because they don't know what to watch them, and there's so much on at once?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But then the problem would be, you know, to get enough York people up covering over the weekend. But it's a hard one to judge. I mean, it's a fantastic event. You know, it's another addition to the uni sporting calendar, which, you know, I'll be happy to go and watch again next year.
Right, well, we will now move into the afternoon of the events, and things did get better for York, getting 23.5 points in the afternoon session, a bit of a fight back, as it were, with wins in the men's football, the volleyball, Wentworth winning 3-0 against St Mary's, the other women's rugby as well. Women's rugby actually I've mentioned it before, but it must be a highlight, really, as far as we dominated that against quite a strong opposition.
Yeah, I think that was the only sport in which we won both games, both first and second games. I think Durham won both in four sports. So certainly it was a new sport introduced this year, along with darts, lacrosse and badminton, I think it was. Those fourth one was introduced. And I think that was definitely a success for York, and certainly one we'll look to retain in the years to come. In the afternoon, I was at the Wentworth volleyball game. They never ceased to amaze me, because not only have they not dropped a set in two terms of college competition, they won their qualifiers by 3-0, and they also beat St Mary's in the York first game volleyball 3-0 as well. So they're really flying the York flag well in the volleyball.
Yeah, well, why do you think they have such a prowess?
I'm not sure. It seems like, obviously being post-grads, they have volleyball is a game which sort of get better as you get older, and I think they do have a number of university representatives in that team. So, you know, they were just highly professional, were good at the net, serving was excellent, and it was good to watch, really, against the St Mary's team, who were a bit ramshackle. It felt like they were just the people who turned up on the day. So a good example of professionalism and execution from York in the volleyball.
And so the last event of the day was the men's football. We mentioned a 1-0 win for Derwent over Collingwood in that. You talked about earlier, actually, of your troubles with technical problems, the fact your pen wouldn't work. I did have my own in the football. We would have had it on here as a feature game today, but my phone ran out of charge as I was recording commentary for the second half of football. I don't know when. I was talking into nothing.
Yeah. I remember seeing you at one point in the afternoon, and you did go up on your own, Josh, and I thought that was a Herculean task to take on. I mean, as you report out, I mean, how was it as a day? How did you find it?
Cold.
I think that's it was absolutely freezing.
That's all
absolutely
I have as an emotion freezing. To talk about. It was just
the
so
temperature. Yeah.
So it was cold. And I did give up during one of the. I went and sat back in the office.
Yeah.
Just for a minute to thaw out. But yeah, so phone ran out of charge. I lost everything. I lost the entire football match, which was somewhat disappointing. But the points did still go to Derwent in that game, and it got to the end of the day. So it was determined during that game the result that Durham had won the varsity overall. And are we surprised by that, or was it always going to happen, especially given it was as a home varsity for Durham?
Well, exactly. The home advantage is always crucial, and especially seeing as, you know, Durham are top three. I think they're second in Bucks. We finished 38th last year. I mean, there's a distance there to make the difference in the day. And also, you don't get your best players coming up in the Durham football, especially as his presence weekend for uni. That made a massive difference. You didn't have your key players there. You remember playing the seconds team, but not to take away from Collingwood, because they were playing a third string team as well. So,
yeah, I mean, whether or not it was their full team, or perhaps some of the players turned up a little worse for wear, perhaps Shelbourne and Bell.
Michael Whittle as well in that front was.
I believe he arrived with glitter still on his face from a previous evening out, but didn't stop him very much bossing the middle of the park in that game.
No.
Yeah, definitely. He was a standout performer. Ewan Bell, obviously, always.
He's, as always.
As Josh Kerr knows, and probably never hears the end of it.
In fact, I can't believe you, Johnny Long. In the latest edition of Vision, you did the team of the year, or team of the term, and you put Ewan Bell in it. And now in the flat, that's all he goes on about. He's got it pinned up on his walls.
Oh. And that makes me so happy. No, to be fair, I had to Photoshop out every individual player there, and I spent far too much time looking at Ewan Bell's rear, trying to crop it out perfectly. And that's something maybe next time I won't be putting in.
Right. For sure. I certainly wouldn't be too upset if you didn't put him in, keep him quiet for a bit. But you know, how good an event is varsity as far as showing the sort of showcasing college sport?
I think it's a good, as I mentioned at the start, Josh. I think it's a good event. It's got a future. It's quite inclusive. Like eight out of York's nine colleges were represented, apart from Constantine, who just lost out in the basketball qualifiers. So, you know, we will always go in as underdogs, but I'm looking forward to how we perform as a home team next year. I think the home advantage for Durham was significant. And I think, you know, as college sport grows and sport at York generally grows, I think we'll see an improvement, and it could be a nice yardstick for our progress as a sport in uni.
Johnny, you've sort of been on the other side of things and perhaps saying it doesn't necessarily have a future.
Well, for me personally, I mean, you got Roses coming up this year. Obviously, first year into uni, Roses is a big event. You know, home advantage, roll out of bed in the morning, no 50-minute train and walk to Durham. But yeah, I think it's, especially when it's on the way fixed, you struggle to get the supreme talent there. And, you know, there's not as much depth of sport. But I definitely agree with the inclusivity aspect, and being able to represent your college on not your home turf is massive.
Okay, well, I think that just about brings up our discussion on varsity. I think now we're going to turn to this week's Bucks fixtures. It was the penultimate Wednesday of the spring term, and it was predominantly a successful one for York sports clubs, with 22 matches yielding 14 victories. Now here's URY's Will Rawlinson with the classified results.
Bucks results for Wednesday, the 4th of March 2015. In football, Sunderland women's seconds 0, York women's 7. York men's second 1, Durham men's second 6, York men's 4th 3, Huddersfield men's thirds 0. In rugby union, York men's first 22, Worcester men's first 26, Huddersfield men's first 19, York men's seconds 33. In hockey, York women's second 6, Sheffield women's 4th 1. Sheffield Women's 5th, 0. York Women's 3rd, 2. Sheffield Men's 3rd, 1. York Men's 2nd, 1. In lacrosse, Northumbria University Men's 1st, 13. York Men's 1st, 1. Durham Women's 2nd, 17. York Women's 1st, 2. York Women's 2nd, 14. Hull Women's 1st, 5. In tennis, York Men's 2nd, 12. Northumbria Men's 2nd, 0. In the cup, York Men's 1st, 8. Leeds Beckett, 4. In badminton, Bradford Women's 1st, 7. University of York Women's 2nd, 1. In the Northern Conference Cup, Sheffield Men's 2nd, 3. York Men's 1st, 5. In basketball, Sheffield Men's 2nd, 73. York Men's 1st, 60. In the Northern Conference Cup, York Women's 1st, 59. University of Liverpool Women's 1st, 62. In water polo, in the Northern 1A, York Women's 1st, 16. Leeds Beckett University Women's 6. In the Northern Conference Cup, Northumbria Men's 2nd, 4. York Men's 1st, 12. In fencing, Keele University Men's 1st, 83. York Men's 1st, 135. In squash, in the Northern Conference Cup, York Women's 1st, 3. Manchester Women's 2nd, 1. And finally, in volleyball, Newcastle Men's 1st, 1. University of York Men's 1st, 3.
Thank you, Will, for that. There's also one result from yesterday to bring you. That's the Football Women's first team were defeated 4-1 on 22 acres by Leeds Beckett 3. So those results see York just inside the top 40 at 39th place in the overall rankings as the spring term draws towards a conclusion. Tom, what would you say the sort of consensus is on the past term of Bucks? Because we were a little bit higher up pushing for top 35 at the end of the winter.
Well, on Wednesday, Josh, I was on the 22 watching the University football seconds lose 6-1 to Durham seconds. That was quite a humbling occasion. They were 5-0 down at half time, but I think as a rule, I think a number of clubs have shown great progress this time. And Bucks, I mean, you have to highlight particularly the Women's Football Club, who are 11 points clear at the top of their league, champions already. Eliminated in the futsal at the weekend, but they're certainly an example of a club who've progressed very well in their league. I think fencing as well have got a top of their league and progressing through the cup competitions. Lacrosse got promoted last year and again have stabilised in their league, both men's and women's. Netball are mid-table. Rugby have had a difficult season.
Oh, they know that. Yeah, they have about, for sure, and it does look like they're going to be going down.
Well, they've got a points difference of minus 400, I think. It's either minus 300 or minus 400. They lost again in midweek against, I think it was Worcester. Difficult season for them, but I'm sure they'll come back next year and hopefully go up again. But, you know, quite a good term of Bucks, I'd say, for York.
Yeah, for sure. And bodes well, perhaps, as we head into Roses. And now it's been a week since the USU full-time officers for next year were elected, including the new York Sport Union president, Grace Clark. I caught up with Grace to get her reaction to being elected and to find out more about what to expect over the next year.
So for those that don't know Grace Clark, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, so yeah, I'm Grace. I'm a third year history student. I was in Alcuin College for my 3 years and, yeah, originally from Northwest London.
Okay, so it has been a week since you were elected. How long did it take to sink in? Has it sunk in?
I still don't think it's sunk in. I've been wandering around campus and I see the scraps of the GC sign still kind of fading away. I'm so excited and so happy. And even when people keep saying to me, oh, this is your job for next year, it just really hasn't sunk in. But yeah, just over the moon and ecstatic, really.
And when you were elected, what was the overriding emotion? Was it jubilation, relief, pride?
I think kind of a combination of all three, really. I was extremely, extremely overwhelmed, as you can probably tell by my interviews afterwards, probably very incoherent and didn't make any sense at all. But just exhaustion from the 2 weeks of campaigning, but so happy, but also quite sad and emotional for those that didn't get the roles as well, because I know how hard the 2 weeks were and we all got very close as a group, and so also very sad for the people that didn't kind of make the positions they wanted to.
And how did you celebrate getting elected?
It was a kind of straight to Willow type affair. Quite a few drinks with some of my closest friends and the people that have helped me out most of my campaign. And a very nice chilled weekend, which topped off by college varsity on the Sunday, which was really lovely. So, yeah, just kind of celebrations all round, really.
You mentioned varsity. We'll touch on that in a little bit later. But why did you choose to run for sport president in the first place?
I think one of the main things is just I absolutely love sport, as you can probably tell by my constant referral to it during my campaign. And I just love York. I think it's a beautiful town and a really fun university. And I think there's so much that's been, it's so exciting the last few years. There's so much been developed in sport, but so much more place you can go for it. And I think one of my reasons was when I was a fresher, I went down to my first Alcoa netball session. I was the only fresher who went there, and I saw Charlotte Winter, and she was so lovely and bubbly, and I asked her what she did, and she said obviously she was the York sport president. I think even from day one I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. For me, the combination of sport and York, I just couldn't ask for anything more. It's just a dream job for me. So yeah.
And what are you most looking forward to over the next year or so?
I just think really developing sport as a whole, getting to know every single sports club individually. And one of the main things for me was relationships. So R is for relationships. So building the relationships with the clubs and getting to know them individually and making them kind of interact and work together more to form a stronger sporting union. And also my relationship with the other SAB officers, so the other four guys, and really showing how we can work together and progress forward, not just with sport, but working with welfare, academic, obviously Ben as president, and kind of with Chris as well with the activities. I think we can really work well together this year, which would be great.
Well, you mentioned that you're now part of the new team.
Yeah.
What's your sort of view on the rest of the team?
I'm so excited. We've already been out for drinks the other night and kind of drilled Chris Wall with all these different, we fired questions at him because obviously he's got the experience of last year, and the guys are absolutely great and we got on really well. Like, quite a few of us worked very closely during the elections and gave each other support, so we know them quite well already, and they're great guys and are so enthusiastic and so keen. I think this year, maybe more than others, that we're really going to try and work together as a team more and form that unity between the five of us. Obviously we're in the office 24/7 with each other next year, but really kind of linking the different roles together and seeing how sport can become really, really integrated within the university.
And for a lot of teams, there's only 1 week left of Bucks this term, and presumably it'll be your sort of last game in Bucks as well.
Yeah.
So what was your greatest sporting moment at York?
I definitely have to say I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a tournament secretary on the York Sport Committee. But for me, Roses weekend in my first year was 100% my favourite weekend of my whole entire experience at York. Such a good atmosphere. So basically, it's just a dream, really. You have the whole weekend, you're just going down to watch different sports. You get to play, represent your university against another league. And for me, it was like going to the Olympics, but obviously a smaller scale. So I think kind of like the optimum this year is me actually being able to do that and organise that for this year, and I'm so excited for Rose this year, and the promotion is all just coming out now, the promo video will be out soon, so yeah, definitely for me representing my university at that sort of level was just incredible.
Oh yeah, and it's early next term. It's the first time Rose's since you just spoke about.
Yeah.
So what are your particular memories from the tournament?
From first year, I just remember on the Sunday we have all three netball games, so it's kind of just the build up in the tent, the atmosphere, having all the foam fingers, the food, the drink. It's all about, for me, it's more like a festival. It's kind of going down and watching loads of different sports. I remember we actually managed to beat our Lancaster team in the first year, and there were two leagues above us, so for that it was a huge achievement for us. And obviously for me being a fresher and leaving the third years, that was their last game, so it's a very emotional experience. I'm sure it will be, especially this year. Obviously I'm still going to be here next year, but a lot of my closest friends at uni, for them it'll be their last netball match, so kind of just elation. But also very, like, quite a sad moment, really, as well.
And it was varsity last weekend.
Yeah.
You were in attendance, as you said. How did you find it?
I love college varsity. I think it's such an amazing event. I'm so glad now it's against Durham, which is a fantastic university. Their facilities are amazing. Very cold, like we discussed. It was very windy. But also it's just a fantastic way to showcase college sport. I think they really deserve the recognition that they gain from that weekend. It's so exciting. It's a full day of sport. So many different sports events all going on at the same time. You've got so much opportunity to watch those different sports. And I think it's just a showcase of how our college sport system, and Dave and Mel especially, have done such an amazing job this year. And it's just a really fun day out, and I loved it. Like, I didn't even play any sport, but I had a fantastic day anyway. So yeah, it's a great day out.
Cold for me was certainly my memory of last weekend. Durham probably is the coldest place on earth, I think.
Yep.
But So the weather is something you can't change, but perhaps next year, what is something you would like to see done differently for college varsity?
I think obviously a home college varsity is extremely important. I think obviously it was the first year for a home college varsity last year, so I think bigger promotion, really, again, like we're trying to do with Roses this year, really get people down to spectate. So whatever it takes to get people down to spectate, whether that's more food, like getting sponsors from people like Spotify, things like that, to get more music around campus, also involving a lot of societies like we like to do with the Roses, like get the samba band down, the cheerleading club, sports club, that kind of thing, getting loads of different more things to get people down and watching. So I think the main thing is getting spectators down and college varsity, having a really big opening and closing fixture. I think it's really important as well, and yeah, just making a real day of it, I think.
And you say how much you love sport. Perhaps outside of York, then what have been your sort of sporting memories of stuff you've seen growing up?
I think for me, it was the Olympics in 2012 was one of my personal highlights. Not only did I watch it 24/7 at home on the TV, but I also got the opportunity to go see it. And also, I didn't actually get to go to see any of the athletics and stuff, but we saw things like handball, like beach volleyball, things like that, which aren't necessarily renowned sports, but are just incredibly exciting to watch. And I think the Olympics, and even just like on a smaller scale, like Roses and College Varsity, are just an amazing showcase of some of the sports that aren't necessarily heard about. So, for example, in Roses, we're having kendo this year as well, which not a lot of people know about, and it just gives those kind of sports the recognition they deserve and to get spectators down. And there's people milling around campus all the time, you're always going to get people passing through and watching. So for me, the Olympics was just an absolutely amazing 2 weeks of just showcasing British sport, and obviously because we did so amazingly well, was definitely one of my highlights.
So presumably then, if you had a choice to get to any sporting event in the world, presumably the Olympics would probably be the one you choose.
Yeah, definitely. I think being able to watch that, especially just the atmosphere you get in some of the stadiums, and just the sheer everyone comes together, and no matter where you're from kind of thing, you're just celebrating sport as a whole. I'd love to go see the Winter Olympics as well. I think some of the sports then, I'm less kind of talented in any of those sort of sports, and went skiing for the first time in my life over Christmas, which was an interesting experience. But equally, I think just celebrating kind of that kind of sport on that level, and the dedication and sheer time and commitment they put into sport is just incredible. Even for people who don't even like sport, I think watching it on the TV is still, you can see how much time and effort they've put in, which I think is an amazing kind of attribute to them.
So you take over at the end of next term.
Yeah.
What are then going to be the sort of time frames for your policies? Will we see pop-up sports equipment all over campus come Freshers Week?
Yeah. Well, definitely, I think summer, obviously we start on the 29th of June, which is just so not far away at all. And I think especially over summer is the time that I want to implement all my key policies. I think one of the main things I was speaking to the boys about the other day is how do we kind of keep track of what we want to achieve? Because I think sometimes you get into the role and you get so excited and overwhelmed with the daily, day-to-day things that you need to do that you actually forget about all the things you've promised. And for me, one of the main things was that I didn't have ridiculously unachievable aims. I wanted things that I could see, the people almost like a checklist, that people were like, okay, she's done that. Like, I'll be in great contact with Keith Morris from York Sport and the Sports Centre to definitely trying to get these things rolling. Obviously, you're not just going to see pop-up gyms straight away, like in Freshers Week necessarily, if I can't achieve it over summer. But from week one, I will look at every day, I'll have my manifesto out and I'll be ticking off everything that I've said that I'm going to do. And by Freshers Week, I hope that freshers will come in and be like, okay, I can already see the changes she's trying to make. So I know a year, it's not a very long time, but I definitely want to get the ball rolling on the 29th of June. So,
and as you look down that checklist of things you want to achieve, what do you think is going to be the hardest sort of policy to implement?
Yeah, I feel like probably the getting involved one, although that's my main policy I tried to push. I know how difficult it is. I was an Alcorn sports rep for 2 years. I know how difficult it is when people don't want to play sport to get them involved. So I think for me, getting involvement and participation up as a level, working really close with the new college sport officers to do that, will probably be my most challenging, but also my most kind of exciting and also fulfilling kind of role, that if I do get increased participation. And pop-up sports equipment, obviously need to look into it, research it a bit more. I'm working very closely with York Sport as a whole and the Sports Centre and the Sports Village to try and get some more discounts and things for us. I think a lot of negotiation will be there, but also building a strong relationship. I think building like communication and links and building really strong relationships with those kind of businesses is really, really important to get that trust there, and then give and take relationship kind of thing.
Okay, well, it sounds like a very exciting and busy year for you as York Sport president. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Grace Clark there, the New York Sport Union president, talking all about the year ahead for her.
Throw back to our newspaper experts. What's your view on the people's choice of sport president?
Personally, I voted for Ellie Whittaker, but I'm sure Grace Clark would do an amazing job. I voted for Ellie Whittaker just because my main focus is football. You know, you want to get someone like-minded in there, but happy with the decision.
Yeah, I think Grace ran a great campaign, particularly on social media. She went around a lot of clubs, met a lot of people, convinced a lot of people that she's the right person for the job.
What, over a vodka double?
Yeah. In Cuda, yeah.
Found out best some time, best price.
best time to get people, yeah. No, but best of luck to her. Look forward to working with her from a media point of view.
Yeah, yeah. She did actually have some policies focusing around that, so that'll be interesting to see how that develops. But yeah, you say going out to... It's strange to see candidates campaigning in clubs, isn't it? You sort of see the photos of like people there holding up their signs. It was quite a bizarre thing, although none of those pictures made clubbers of the week, unlike myself.
He's done it.
If we want to talk about socials this week, I mean, maybe Josh, you want to tell us what happened on the Derwent Football 6 and 60 social this Wednesday?
Yeah, if you're listening to Mikey and Josh.
Location D-Bar.
Yeah, if you were listening to Mikey and Josh, the New Yorkers on Wednesday, I said I was doing it, and I said I didn't think it was going to end well. And it was worse than I expected. I didn't even finish my first pint before I was sick.
Yeah,
I'd like to have my achievement this week because I did it in 58 minutes 30 seconds, coming just in under the threshold. But then, unfortunately, didn't make it through a night at Salvo.
You didn't?
No, I had to take myself home about 5 minutes after I got in.
had to take himself, subbed himself off, made the decision. Oh dear. Anyway, moving on from that, and on to the wider world of sport.
Yeah.
We'll start with football because it's the FA Cup weekend again. And shows previously, I've spoken to Simon and Peter, reporters here at URY. They've made predictions. They've got some horribly wrong. They predicted no upsets in the fourth round. And obviously we saw Chelsea and Manchester City dumped out.
Yeah, about that.
They were a little more accurate last time out, but now we head to the quarterfinal. There's four very exciting fixtures. We'll start with the games tomorrow. It's Bradford, Reading and Villa, West Brom. Of course, that's a repeat of the fixture that happened midweek. Johnny, you're a Villa fan. What was your view on that particular game?
Very happy with a goal, very happy with a win. I mean, it's been a while. Under new boss Tim Sherwood, he said before the match, you know, if we win this game, we'll kick on, hopefully survive relegation. I mean, we're out of the relegation zone at the minute. But I mean, to carry on a cup run would be brilliant. I mean, past few years we've been absolutely dire, you know, going out to some awful teams. But, you know, you never know. We might get another goal, might get another win this weekend.
Oh, no, and what's your view as a Villa fan on the appointment of Tim Sherwood?
I mean, it's the best you're going to get, really. Got to be quite honest. I mean, you've got to keep the faith, but...
Yeah, would you say it's a seller's market for managers out there at the minute?
Well, and it's just, in terms of clubs, I mean, we're trying to sell, so there's not going to be any money coming in. You know, Tim Sherwood hopefully brings someone else a bit of an edge, which maybe previous instalments have lacked.
And given that Villa had the advantage on Wednesday, or Tuesday rather, do you expect them to pick up the win on Saturday?
I mean, we got the class in terms of our team and squad, but you never know. I mean, I don't like to back the Villa, despite how much I love them. You know, you've got to go in with a bit of trepidation every time we kick off.
And Tom, the other game on Saturday, it's Bradford-Reading. What's your view on that
one? I think Bradford have been a breath of fresh air in the competition so far, obviously, with the Chelsea result. Sent shockwaves through the world of football, and against Sunderland as well. I think being at home will be a great advantage to them, and the pitch up there is a pigsty, really, and that could be a leveller for them in terms of tomorrow. But Reading defeated my beloved Derby County in the round before, with Yakubu coming on and scoring a last-minute winner. So obviously he'll be there again on Saturday. But I think Bradford, you know, I think they've got enough to beat Reading. They're inconsistent in the Championship. Bradford just outside the playoffs in League One. Should be an interesting game.
Yeah, and if the Bantams can beat the Biscuit Men, Bradford will be taking their second trip down Wembley Way in 3 years.
Biscuit Men. How long were you waiting to say that? It's the whole time. I thought it was the Royals.
All my life, they've got two nicknames.
Do they?
Yeah, they do indeed.
Fair enough.
but players like James Hansen for sure will feature for Bradford. I mean, it's just frankly bizarre how clubs like Sheffield United, Bradford City, just pick up this sort of cup prowess and always seem to be the same sort of giant killers. Talking of giant killings, might there be one on the cards as Blackburn Rovers head to Anfield, Liverpool on Sunday?
Well, I think the way Liverpool performed against Man City, with Felipe Coutinho scoring a winner on the day of varsity, in fact.
You two were cowering in the office, staying nice and warm watching that one while I was probably out getting very cold.
Preparing for the fixtures to come later in the day, of course. Blackburn have done well to get this far in the competition. They've got a good manager there in Gary Bowyer. I think Liverpool will be too strong for them on Sunday. And Liverpool will go through potentially setting up an interesting semi-final.
There's one game we haven't talked about, perhaps the tie of the round. Two heavyweights, Manchester United versus Arsenal.
I mean, it's been a tricky season for both, a similar place in the table. But personally, I mean, I'd back Man U. I don't know, they got the class, even if they haven't shown it at times. I don't know, sometimes I never like to back Arsenal.
So you're not gonna get behind the holders then?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, they can put in a lacklustre performance, and I don't know, Man U have the quality, I think, over Arsenal. I mean, Tom may disagree.
Yeah, I'll go the other way. I think Arsenal for that one. They've had Santi Cazorla, I think, has probably been one of the outstanding players in the Premier League this season. I think Theo Walcott coming back to fitness. They've got a lot of good attacking players there. And United this season, they've got some good results, but performance-wise, they've not been there. Van Gaal's admitted it. He's still a long way away from deciding what his best team is and getting 100% out of a lot of the players he's got there. Wayne Rooney's back in form, but I can see Arsenal doing a job on them there. I think that's one to watch on Monday night.
So would you say whoever wins this game on Monday is going to be the favourite for the tournament, or does that honour perhaps go Liverpool's way? Or maybe even Aston Villa's?
Well, I'm hoping whoever wins out of Man U or Arsenal to hopefully face Liverpool in the next round, setting up Villa with a chance at the final, which they'll...
Sneak in the back door and just steal the show.
Second time at New Wembley, is it?
Yeah, I think so, I'm not sure.
League Cup final.
Yeah, losing to Bradford, yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
We'll bottle it at some point. Just depends when.
Can always rely on Villa, yeah.
Oh, dear. And, of course, with Reading dipping into FA Cup action this weekend, likewise Blackburn, but the rest of the Championship, that's all going on. The race for the Premier League, you say you're a Derby fan.
Yeah, Derby County.
Been inconsistent of late.
Yeah, it's been a very frustrating week. Midweek, lost to Brighton in what was a good performance, but a loss on the South Coast. And then Fulham on Saturday as well, another loss against a pretty inconsistent Fulham side. So it's been a very frustrating week. But to be honest, I think we've got enough to be there at the end of the season, certainly for automatic promotion, with either one of Bournemouth or your side, Josh, or Middlesbrough.
Yeah, and Bournemouth perhaps joined the camp of inconsistent sides. Only one win in their last six. After they got the win, they faced Fulham in about an hour's time. I'll be watching that one tentatively to see if Bournemouth can climb into the top two for the first time in a little while. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they were right up there for ages. Johnny, who would be your favourite sort of picks to make it onto the top table of English football?
Well, my local side's Brentford, who were having a good time in the Championship. I mean, I don't follow them religiously, obviously, but occasionally I'll see a Championship table and see they're surprisingly up there from in the past when I've, you know, gone down to watch them at Griffin Park. But, I mean, you two obviously follow the Championship a lot more.
I think with Brentford is obviously getting rid of Mark Warburton.
I was about to bring that up. The bees hovering inside the top six. They're not going away, I think, is perhaps the view of Middlesbrough, of Derby, when they look around the table every week. The decision to get rid of Warburton, even though he could perhaps take them into the Premier League.
League.
Yeah, I mean, the owner there, Matthew Benham, he's put a lot of money into it, and he's getting obviously the new stadium, and they feel like they want Premier League football and that. And I think it was a difference in footballing philosophy, because Warburton's very much the old school. He favours sort of a scouting, sort of spotting young talent, and Bentham is very much more towards Moneyball, sort of looking at statistics, spreadsheets, and identifying players and factors from that. So I think it was a bit of a silly, poor decision from the club to make, to get rid of him. If the formula is working, then you've got to stick with it. And I think they could live to regret that in the weeks and months to come.
Yeah, very much a clash of philosophies there. If we now look all the way down towards the bottom of the Football League, keeping things local for a minute, York City. It's not been a good season for them so far.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. I was there on the game on Saturday. It was
you were there on Saturday.
I was there. Well, yeah.
You saw a win.
I was actually in the press box on. It wasn't this Saturday. I wasn't in the away game. Okay. I was there for the Exeter game at home. And it was a 0-0 draw, and it was a very poor game. I think with York, the problem is their home form. I mean, they've won now 3 times at home all season. They find it very difficult to create chances on what is a poor pitch at York. But ultimately, I think it might come down to the fact that there are some very, very poor teams in that league. Hartlepool are cut adrift. And I think they might end up being just 2 teams that are worse.
Yeah.
I race to the bottom.
With just 2 teams dropping out, and it's the fourth tier of English football, perhaps, a case of York just have that... quality maybe isn't the right word.
The Minster men, I'm not sure, but best of a bad lot perhaps at the bottom, but
okay. And in fact, just going back to the FA Cup for a second, I was there, Wimbledon versus York, first round tie, and I'll tell you what, the magic of the cup certainly eluded Bootham Crescent on that day.
I think I might have been there as well, Josh. It was like a 1-1 draw, was it?
Yeah
And replayed at AFC, and York lost.
Yeah, and so. Akinfenwa and Matt Tubbs were there on the day.
Big Akinfenwa, yeah. And the second leg, because I assume we'd have scored a breakaway goal with York's keeper back in the other end of the pitch. A struggle for them this season, but I think they're down there. I mean, money is so tight. Like, they spent a lot of years in the conference, and the infrastructure, obviously with the new stadium bid coming in, still being quite ambiguous and potentially having consequences for university with the staging of roses at the Huntingdon Stadium. Money is very tight there, and they'll just sort of be looking at survival. So, you know, all the best to York. It's a good club.
Turning away from football now to rugby union, the Six Nations is ongoing. A blow dealt very much to England's chances of winning the tournament when they were defeated by Ireland last weekend. Surely then Ireland must be the favourite, and could they perhaps even go on to take the Grand Slam?
I mean, yeah, they probably will. I mean, I like to avoid rugby like the plague, because I hail from Twickenham, so it's actually been quite nice being up in York this year, not having to battle through the, you know, hordes of rugby fans who arrive at the train station whenever the match is. But there, I mean, even around campus, there's been a lot of love for the rugby. You know, you go to Debo and the match is on, it's packed out, courtyard's packed out.
Yeah, I'm there with a half pint.
Yeah. You sure? Yeah. Nice one. No, how many games are left now? Is there one round of fixtures left?
Halfway. Three games gone.
Yeah, there's two left for each side, I believe. England still need to face France and... France and Scotland.
Yeah.
I think for England it's been a case of inconsistency. Well, obviously in the first game against Wales on the Friday night, they came back in style to win that one. And against Italy, they got the win, but they were unconvincing.
Yeah.
And obviously a loss in the Aviva Stadium last weekend. But
so is it perhaps just the case of Ireland have just got the consistency, whereas Wales, England, France just perhaps lacking their edge slightly?
I don't think it's the strongest field this year in the Six Nations, to be honest, Josh, and I think Ireland might just end up being there at the end, I think.
Okay, and we will now go down under to look at the cricket. England, again, struggling slightly in that, along with the rest of the home nations, following defeat to Sri Lanka last weekend. Have England got enough to get through?
You're asking the wrong person here, Josh. I mean, to be honest, in terms of national sport, being, you know, working for the Vision, covering all the college and uni sport.
You haven't got time for it.
No, not really. I mean, I'm all sported out. I mean, you get back from Durham, you know, can you bother to catch up on the day's sport? I mean, I tell you what, being here this evening, I've learned more about what's happening in national sport than I've all year so far.
It's been informative. It's been brilliant. Let's hope it's the same for the listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm listening next week. I'll find out, you know, everything.
Yeah. I know, right. Like, I think for England, like, they obviously posted a big total against Sri Lanka and then lost by 9 wickets. I think the big debate in English cricket now is about Kevin Peterson. I think about, would he improve the team? Would he come back? It's a bit of a, it's not quite the same, but a bit of a sort of John Terry argument, proven international level.
Yeah, still might be useful still performing in very, very well for club sides, but not obviously not being used as an outlet internationally.
I think personally on the Peterson issue, I think you've got to pick your best team. I said before, you were 2012, John Terry should have gone back in the England team, and perhaps it's a lazy comparison, but I think the point stands. I think Peterson's got a proven track record at the world, at ODI and international level. And I think although the possible consequences of having him for the dressing room are disruptive, he would be someone who should come into that middle order and play for England.
And it really has been a fall of grace generally for the England cricket team. They, a couple of years ago, they were riding high. They were an Ashes win, you know, they were top of it. But now very much sort of getting bettered very, very often when they face those big sides.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, how do you feel about that? Like, has that been a difficult process? Or
undoubtedly, it's been a difficult process. I mean, with cricket, they always seem to be in trouble in the media. I mean, this week we've had you know, the whole tax thing come out with the Ashes heroes of the past year. Mm. I mean, is it because they don't have enough to do and they're just, you know, sitting around a field all day thinking about how they're going to fudge their money? Who knows?
Oh, well, if you're listening and you're a cricket fan, I do apologise.
for the lack of punditry from me.
For Johnny, who clearly
has
no interest in the game. Right, we will touch on our last panel discussion, which I'm also worried I haven't necessarily got the right people in to talk about.
We could talk about college football, Josh, if you really want.
Yeah. I think in terms of being relevant to students, I think that might be
not to hijack your show at all, Johnny.
No.
And then you take the wheel, Johnny.
Right. Yeah, so
let's talk about the final
Revolution Premier.
Let's talk about the Revolution Premier League.
Well, no, let's go down to perhaps the Revolution 3B, big game tomorrow afternoon. It's Derwent Sixes versus Langwith Fours, I believe. It might not even be them, but I'm pretty sure.
But you'll be playing, hopefully.
All 5 for 5 of me will be keeping net in my second full outing for Derwent after last time out. We were defeated 2-1 by Goodrick Threes. The second goal perhaps could be attributed to my fault.
Possibly.
I was somewhat out of position, but anyway, well, yeah, let's go back up the leagues. Of course, a massive game this weekend between Derwent and James.
Yeah, well, that's the late kickoff on the Sunday. We've got the two, you know, the two heavyweights of the Revolution Premier League.
Yeah, so I mean, late kickoff, have your roast dinner.
Yeah,
you know, hop along to the 3G.
Yeah, wrap up warm because it's always definitely cold down there.
Derwent, as usual, be supported.
Yeah, Derwent will be supported heavily. I mean, it'll be my college going up against Tom's.
Yeah, I mean, James's service has been a real disappointment. They lost consecutive games to Vanbrugh and Alcuin. I think they're complacent. I think they really underestimated those teams. Yeah. I think what Derwent have done well is they turn up every week and they treat every team on its merit and they do a job. And what James have done is they don't have that strength and depth. Once they have one or two uni players drop out, they can't deliver that performance. And Derwent, again, go back to varsity as we started the show, they might have a few players out, uni ones, players out for President's Weekend, but they have some players go in and do the same job. So I think that is a dead rubber now because Derwent have pretty much sealed the title. Yeah,
and in fact, there's a chance that Derwent could seal the 1-2 with their first and second team.
Yeah, well, it all depends on, because we missed out on, unfortunately, the Derwent derby with the Derwent first versus Derwent seconds just because of logistics, and hopefully that was going to be replayed. It might still be, but it's not looking likely. I mean, the thing that's helped Derwent massively this year is the input of freshers. I mean, there's been such a strong crop of talent coming up.
Well, yeah, guys like myself and you.
Yeah,
talent to come into that squad and turn things around.
I mean, I do my best for the Derwent Fours, but I'm yet to receive a late call on a Friday night from Ryan Gwinnett asking if I could fill in.
No,
but we live in hope.
Yeah. Problem for me, down in the Sixes, there's always a...
you know, 100 goalkeepers ahead of me on the contact list. But yeah, so realistically, do you think Derwent should be then perhaps the favourites going into next term for the College Cup?
Yeah, well, I would have been very interested in the Derwent derby because, you know, there's been whispers going around maybe the Derwent seconds could do a job. I mean, they have the hunger. I mean, Michael Whittle would be absolutely devastated if Derwent seconds rose and, you know, got it off him. But I don't know, players like Rob Nixon, I mean, it all depends on team selection, whether Ryan Gwinnett decides he wants the better players from the twos.
Yeah, of course. Nicholson picked up quite a bad knock against Collingwood on Sunday. Could that affect? Do you think it's likely to affect massively the sort of end to Derwent season?
I think so. I mean, he's their direct attacking threat. I mean, you watch him play, you're like, you know, you're not quite sure, you know, what his attributes are, but he's very quick to the ball. He's got good feet, and he always ends up with a goal.
So now they're going to have to turn to an alternative, perhaps Naylor, who got the goal in Durham.
Yeah,
had a few chances, perhaps should have scored a few more.
Well, I mean, it caused him trouble afternoon, but he should have had plenty more goals. I mean, maybe he's not used to playing that position. I don't know what you think, Tom.
Well, I saw him play midweek for the Uni 2s, and he struggled.
Did he?
On that day. I think he struggled to find space, but playing off the front, I think he could create chances. I think also what Derwent have is they have a good core, good consistent core. I think Luca, he's had a great season. And I think Murali, whenever he comes in, brings real backbone to that midfield.
Yeah, same with Aloko, who's done a job whether he's playing ones or twos all the time.
Yeah, I think in terms of College Cup, you mentioned Josh, obviously Halifax have been down thereabouts for the last 4 or 5 years. I think they always raise the game. The likes of Gareth Heath and Guy Bowden in their side. I think James are the serial chokers. I think they will, in the big games, they always seem to come up short. It'll certainly be an interesting College Cup, and it'll be great to see the crowds down there in the summer.
Yeah, definitely.
Summer term on the JLD in the great weather.
And look out for University Radio York as well, who
absolutely,
I'm sure will have a presence, and I'll be looking to cover that. Just very quickly then, you tried to take it away from me, but I do want to cover, before we hijack my show, I do want to cover the Formula One, because by this time next week, the season will have started. They'll have had the first two practice sessions in Albert Park, Melbourne. Mercedes have been very strong in testing. Do you think they're going to be as dominant this season as they were last year?
Yes.
Okay, monosyllabic answer there from Johnny Long. it's certainly going to be a very interesting season. A new crop of cars and a number of driver changes.
New cars, yeah.
Yes, new.
Not the same ones.
No, not the same ones. Oh, dear. To the end of the final sports hour of this term here on University Radio York. We look very much forward to seeing you next term. So thank you very much for listening. I'm going to have the news now, and after that it's going to be URYPM Brit Happens.
On air, 13:50 a.m. and online.
This is your Kinney's Student Radio.